some awful news story has broken to render what you tried to promote ahead of time completely offensive.
I don't think the emoji matters. I think it's the content. Like, I scheduled two tweets that essentially say, hey, watch my show. And no matter what, if something crazy happens in the news, if another letter leaks from the Supreme Court, if some people charge the Capitol once again, there is no emoji that is safe or not safe for me, like, popping up at 12:45.
What about about this emoji? What about this one here, where it's like half the face and he's getting the – wait, I've gone too far.
There you go.
It's wrong hand, and here we are.
Still bad. It's all bad.
That's the greatest emoji right there. By the way, Pablo, stop messing with your hair. That one strand hanging over your forehead is perfect. Stop messing with it. Just let it hang there.
I think you should trust.
Now you ruined it. You ruined it.
Trust.
Now there it is.
There it is.
By the way,
all right, right there.
Welcome to Debatable, a fake television show where we name strip clubs that James Harden would like and let it hang there. Already an early candidate for clubhouse leader. That is Israel Gutierrez. That is also Dominique Foxworth.
Hold on.
And
never mind.
Clubhouse leader, but I feel like there's got a lot more potential in there. There's going to be another
I've
one.
I've learned it's early. Not to ask questions. Just keep it moving like it didn't happen, because if I ask one follow-up, I think it all falls apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Dylan Brooks Alabaster? For appetizer.
Oh, we're starting with a nice plate of Dylan Brooks. Is that right?
I think we are. And our first topic today is Steve Kerr right that Dylan Brooks broke the code with his foul on Gary Payton II?
Anybody else think that thumb doesn't match the voice?
I know, that's a weird
just
thumb.
Keep going.
Right, it didn't sound very
That's right. Let me see that thumb again. Hold on, let me see that thumb again.
Oh,
Mr. Cellophane's back. I know that. Smeagol. Thumb. We got a weird combo here going on. But look, I love a code. Who doesn't like a good code? Right? Like, the entire concept.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Wait, I don't.
Dominique, why don't you like a good code?
I mean, when has a code ever worked out for me? In the entire history of American culture, a code has never worked out for me. I'm against all secret codes, unwritten codes. Frankly, the written codes ain't that good either, but that's not what we're talking about. Dylan Brooks thrown out of the game.
Well, we're kind of talking about it because, yes, Dylan Brooks, Izzy, gets tossed, flagrant two. The second straight came with a flagrant two. This one, unambiguously a flagrant two, because I believe we have the video of, yes, what Dylan Brooks did to Gary Payton II 3 minutes into the game, completely changing the entire series. You know, and the code breaking, the code deciphering we have to do here is around the fact that Dylan Brooks pushed Gary Payton II while he was in midair, clubbed him across the face, as Steve Kerr pointed out post-game, and also had his offhand also kind of shoving on his body to the point where Steve Kerr declares, yes, there is a code.
We
never put a guy's season or career in jeopardy, Dominique, et cetera, et cetera.
We got to hear Charles and Kenny and Shaq talk about it last night. And then this morning, I listened to JJ and Legler and Rose. Like, everyone's talking about it, and there is not a consensus, which means that since I'm outside the game, that I am allowed to make my own opinion about this. And it seemed like a hard foul. I think we are playing the result. I think Steve Kerr is the coach of the team, and it's his responsibility to be up in arms. I hate it. It shouldn't have had to happen. But if he just falls and gets injured, I don't think we get a flag. Or if he just falls and doesn't get injured, I don't think we get a flagrant two. I don't think we're having code conversation today.
No, you definitely get a flagrant two regardless of the injury. They didn't know the extent of the injury at the time. And the way these playoffs in the NBA has been going, automatic flagrant two. And the thing is I'm not playing the result. I'm playing the player, okay? Dylan Brooks is not a dirty player. He is an aggressive, angry, defensive player who, frankly, doesn't have that much athleticism. And you could see if you watch the play again, like, he doesn't jump up. Like, he jumps forward. He's going, like, he gets, like, a phone book underneath him. And he just goes right at me to get the foul. He's no easy layups. And he's got him in the back. So there you go with the, you know, in the air. You can send a guy flying just by having his hand in his back. but then gets the full follow-through to the head. That is classic flagrant two in today's NBA. And frankly, it just begs the conversation. I mean, I don't know what the consensus was. It makes me want to go back and watch all those shows and see who didn't think it was a flagrant two. But it makes me think of hockey. It makes me think of, do you now start to consider the injury when you talk about the penalty, or when you talk about the penalty to Dylan Brooks? Because this is really bad, and this was a key player for the Warriors.
But this is where the code that Dominique doesn't like, which I believe rhymes with renal, the U.S. renal code, if we're going to refer to that one, right? That's where there is some similarity between that code and the one that all of these NBA players woke up today failing to find consensus on. Because there is something about playing the result here that the NBA is beginning to codify, even though none of this is literally codified, right? A code is fun when there's no written actual thing to decipher. But what the NBA has been doing when Grayson Allen, remember, fractured some dude's elbow when he played the Bulls in that Bucks-Bulls series, he got a game, a suspension.
Alex Caruso,
I'm sorry.
Grayson Allen is more some dude than Alex Caruso is. Come on, Pablo.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm a prosecutor, not a defense attorney. I don't really care. But this, the reality of playing the result is the NBA has been, they've begun to factor that in. And so the idea that a fractured elbow is the consequence of this, and Gary Payton Jr., the second, happens to be the Warriors' best shot at stopping and slowing down Ja Morant, which we saw and we'll talk about in a second, I suppose. All of that does matter. So to me, it's an obvious one-game suspension. But what Steve Kerr is trying to do, as you guys are alluding to, is make this into something more. He's trying to make this into like a moral crime. And that is where the coach of Draymond Green has some flaws and some holes in his case.
I mean, it doesn't mean that he approves of Draymond Green's behavior. I think that, I mean, it's a rally cry. It's the playoffs. I don't think if Draymond Green does that, Steve Kerr pulls him aside and says, hey, watch out for that code. But I think Draymond's, his flagrant foul was not the type that would lead to an injury, which I guess, well, that's not completely true because he did slap the man in the face. He could poke him in the eye. But it's not the type of play where you're running and you slam into somebody and throws them off balance. I do think that very few people said it wasn't a flagrant foul. A lot of people say it's a hard playoff foul. It's the no layup rule kept coming up. And that's something that apparently all teams believe when you get to the playoffs, you make them shoot free
throws. Sure, yeah, yeah.
Right, so if you are – I guess I'm defensive as a defensive back because it reminds me of situations like that where right. you're running in trying to break up a pass by any means necessary, and you recognize that if you get penalized, you get penalized. But at no point are you thinking, I'm going to try to hurt this man. So I guess that's where I draw the line in breaking the code. And I don't think with Dylan Brooks, while he was doing that, I don't think that he thought that this guy might get injured. Like that's the point I'm making.
And the more egregious act is the swinging and hitting of the head. The elbow is just an accident, you know, that happened. It's the swing and the hit of the head that got him ejected. He would have got ejected if Gary Payton Jr. just bounced right back up. He probably still would have got ejected.
What you got?
But that is, I mean, but again, like by the U.S. Penal Code, that is manslaughter, right? Like your intent, it was reckless. You didn't intend for this to happen, but Alabaster, it still
got
to
be a strip club name, no?
Right. Oh man.
Maybe not the one James Harden's going to, but whatever.
Oh, man.
So I have a bit of a follow-up question here, and it's about playing the result. And the reason I have this question is because had Brandon Clark been injured by Draymond pulling him down, I'm sure you're right, Pablo. He would have been suspended for another game, right, and it would have swung the series. And so my question to you is, do you guys think, and I'm not asking for a definitive answer here, but do you think playing the result is right when intent is cloudy like this?
For a playoff series is a better question too, because then it's just immediate impact. Like, it's not the regular season where we're playing the same people and, you know, the results matter right away. Immediate impact, I think it should. I think it should factor in.
We all coaches need to have a meeting with their players from this point forward. If you get flagrant fouled, don't get up. We'll drag you off to the sideline and we'll report
spoken
something
like
fake.
Like a defensive player. Yeah, spoken like a true cornerback.
Well, I mean, Gary Payton Jr. is, speaking of defensive players, like, I think the biggest value that they're going to lose from him is his defense. No one can stop Ja Morant, but Gary Payton Jr. does the best job of doing it. When he leaves the game at 3 minutes in, it's not a complete coincidence that Ja Morant scores 47 points. So the really, really unhappy play, but a really, really good one as far as results are concerned for Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, well, but this is where, like, we got to clarify, right? Alabaster, you're asking us a question, and the role we really play here in talking about this is that of, like, a really activist jury. Because we don't actually care about the crime. We have our own priorities, and our priorities is for these games to be fun as hell, right? And mm-hmm. so if you threaten that, it does matter. And so what I want personally as a fan is I want deterrence. I want the players I want to watch to not get injured. And so if this helps that... Whatever
and the
code
players
you guys
want to watch
Matt
get suspended.
But do you think I really care about Dylan Brooks?
I don't really care about Dylan Brooks getting suspended.
You care about Draymond Green getting suspended.
Absolutely.
So, I mean,
absolutely.
By the way, you brought up something really interesting, Pablo. Steve Kerr, like, he has to die a little bit inside all the time when he watches some of what Draymond does because he doesn't vibe. With Draymond. Like, that's probably one of the best things Steve Kerr has done as a coach, to find a way to let Draymond be maximum Draymond without crossing the line while still not, like, just collapsing inside, because it just doesn't go with who he is. And so that, to me, I feel like some of the times he's just like, you know what, I don't really want to talk about Draymond stuff. Let's separate the Draymond conversation from the Gary Payton II conversation, because you're just tricking me every time with that.
Alabaster,
question.
I don't know what your question was at this point. I will, though, remind people that Steve Kerr, to Izzy's point, also personally got punched in the face by Michael Jordan. And so his personal experience in terms of, like, the code of the NBA, it's actually kind of a fascinating one. So as a person who also feels like he's getting punched in the face doing television, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, what I was just going to say is counterpoint, Izzy. Dennis Rodman helped win Steve Kerr 3 championships. So I think he's probably okay with some of Draymond's stuff.
Well, I mean, he sat there and watched it. He didn't have to deal with it. He didn't have to be the Phil Jackson of the group. But yeah, good counterpoint. Accepted.
Michael Jordan did it. It's okay. I think just like any other code, penal code that we're talking about, it matters who commits the crime. And yes, also the result matters. As much as we want to say it
absolutely.
Doesn't.
Absolutely.
The result matters.
Also, is there, like, fun music over the montage when you're assessing the crime? Because these hard fouls midair, like, that's entirety, like, Knicks fan 90s porn. Like, that's all we love. We love that. We'll pray to the altar of that. But if one of our guys gets hurt, no. Send him to jail forever.
It used to be Mr. Bean music? Is that what it is?
Mr. Bean? You talking Mr. Bean?
Well, that's the kind of, anyway. That's the music that would play back in the 90s when this stuff happened. Now it's, you know, you get the police involved.
All right, next question. Our second question, is Ja Morant the best player in this Grizzlies-Warriors series?
I mean, if he wasn't before, he absolutely is now, speaking to the Gary Payton II aspect of it. But also, I think this was the best Ja Morant game I have ever seen. I will also say that.
Why?
It was. And like, I kind of want to just jump ahead, but I'm going to answer the question. I think so. I think he might be right now. And I think if you just want, like, I think going into this series, I was like, well, who's Ja going to defend, right? Because in the half court, not a great defender. But flip that. And especially now with Gary Payton II out with the wrist injury, like, or the elbow injury, I think he feels like he can get anywhere he wants to on the floor. He can get into the paint wherever he wants. We've got to come up with a name for that move where he just jumps all the way up in the air and then finds a way to get his arm around you for the layup. I feel like he thinks he can do that anytime now, especially after this second game. So I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, because if you start breaking down the Warriors, like Steph isn't taking over the games the way he has been in the past. And like, Klay looks like a shell of himself. Andrew Wiggins isn't even really in the conversation, and Draymond can't score. So yeah, I'm pretty sure that leaves Ja as the best player in the series.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right, but if it comes down to, like, who do you pick, I'm still picking Steph first. I don't know how you answer this question, because off the heels of last night, who's the best player right now? Yeah, it's Ja Morant. Who has, like, the potential to be the best player? Like, I still think it's Steph, even though he hasn't been Steph of old. Like, the guy who's done all that he's done in these situations, like, I feel like that guy with the ability to shoot is the best player, even if he's not playing the best right now.
Yeah, I personally think that is correct. I think that Steph, you cannot not take Steph ahead of Ja. But I will say, when Ja Morant is scoring the last 15 points of the game, and as defensive strategy matter, right? Like, this is where sometimes a very casual opinion may also be an expert one. Why aren't you guys making him go right? Like, can he go right once? All he does is go left every time. And he's unstoppable, and you know he's going to score. He scored 18 of his 47 points in the last 6 minutes of the game. Again, the last 15 straight, and he went to the same part of the court every time. And maybe that's a Gary Payton, the second job, but like, if
no, it was the same thing against Minnesota. Same thing against Minnesota. Always driving left, especially on the big points. I got a question for you guys, because I know, like, we all sort of got enamored with the Warriors again when the playoffs started because Steph was back and we got that new little tiny death lineup. So
tiny
that
death,
death
by
lineup
the way,
yesterday
a great name for a strip club.
Ooh,
that James Harden.
Okay. that lineup was a combined negative 11 plus minus minus 11 in two second half stints last night, including a minus six in 4 minutes and 35 seconds to close the game. That's from Tim Kawakami. And it makes me wonder, like, there was this other clip that I saw late in the regular season of Klay Thompson just kind of like, I guess Jordan Poole didn't pass him the ball when he was open, and he just kind of like gave him a look and just kind of walked it. And it just makes me wonder, like, if Jordan Poole wasn't there as an option, as a confident option, aren't we getting more out of Steph? Aren't we probably getting a little bit more out of Klay just because it's forced, right? And would that be better? I guess that's my question, because this lineup, like, I love the players individually. I don't know if together, because defensively, not going to stop John Morant from getting to the rim with that lineup. And then offensively, like, there's a couple times where I see Jordan Poole running around everywhere, and I would just rather watch Steph Curry relocate until he gets a three.
Last night is the first time you can, like, actually ask that question. But they shot, what, 18%?
18%.
18% from three. Like, I would not go as far as you, Izzy, although I think it's a reasonable question. It's like, if we all believe that Steph is still better than Jordan Poole, then yes, we want Steph to shoot more than Jordan Poole. I'm not so sure about Klay, the version we've seen recently. Yeah. I think you're right. But when, as a team, they shoot 18% from three, I think, let's just say that's an aberration and not, like, make big sweeping reviews, just like the Celtics game that I'm sure we're going to get to at some point. So I think you might be right. But I don't know if I'm ready to jump off yet, because these guys are old.
I still have Warriors in five. I'm with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Warriors, for the record, right, to Dominique's point just then, 18% is the worst they've shot as a team in the last quarter century, or 25 times 24. I'm trying to make the number as big as possible. Stop what is it. That? That's like Stop 400 it. Something, like 700 hours. No, 7,000 hours.
It's a mess.
But they
Rally have all those.
As the dynasty, ever since they became this Splash Brothers era, they have never been this bad from three. And so, yeah, the fact that it was this close again with them being that bad, it's not time to jump ship yet.
I got the COVID sweats.
I was going to say, Dominique has been sensually disrobing while this conversation has
just
been
happening. Just because Vegas got me, and now I'm hot, I'm giving hot takes, and they're warming me up.
And Vegas... I have a candle for that? I don't have a cooling candle?
Yeah, no such thing, I don't think.
Dominique's recuperating, Gary Payton II recuperating.
Why have we, no idea when he'll be back. Do we know when or how to decide to go with Junior or the second?
Ooh. I feel like you go with the second because you know there's going to be a third, right?
Well, maybe there already is a third.
Oh.
Does Gary Payton – maybe that's why. That makes sense. Maybe that's why.
No, like, no. The third would be Gary Payton the second's son. So,
right. That's what I was saying.
Unless there's a trick.
The thing
that's
that
what
Gary
I'm saying.
Payton
Does he have a
second...
son? Like, if Gary Payton the second has a son, that would make sense why he
saying.
Stopped calling
and
himself Junior.
And then they tagged on the two. Yeah. It wasn't the second at birth.
Right.
Gotcha.
The thing that he should be called, by the way, Gary Payton II, that I think he likes being called, is the Mitten, which is a way better name as the son of the glove to be the Mitten. Yes.
That's cute.
It is. Soft it's adorable. Alabaster, what's next?
So I have an answer for you on Gary Payton.
Ooh, on the lineage?
He has a half-brother named Gary Payton Jr., they were born in the same year, and he is a half-brother. He's Gary Payton Jr., and he's Gary Payton II. Also, best nickname in sports, the Mitten.
Best question
in the history of this show. You're welcome, everyone.
Wow. I mean,
the same
I was...
face. The same face I had, Pablo, when I found out that Lance Stevenson has a brother named Lance Stevenson, just spelled differently, is amazing. Like,
and a more shocked face when I found out that Anthony Edwards' dog is named Anthony Edwards Jr. Dominique, he dispensed. He was like, I know, like, George Foreman does variations. He's like, no, everyone's Gary Payton.
So what would the third half brother be? Gary Payton.
Same year. Like, that same has to be year. I mean, I'm assuming he's not as good at basketball. That has to be tough. Like, have the same name, be the same age, and why you keep going to his basketball game?
Can we find out, Alabaster, can you find out what Gary Payton Jr. is up to? Because I feel like Gary Payton the first clearly established this as a competition from day zero.
I'm on it. But while I research this, let's move on. And we will talk about Celtics Bucks. And the question is, these games have been, you know, on the polar opposites of how they've gone. And where do you stand with this Celtics Bucks series after game two?
We ride the pendulum. Yesterday, we established that all we are doing is riding the wrecking ball / pendulum of takes. All I wanted was to break your walls. And yeah, here we are with the Celtics coming right back as the team that we thought, that I thought was the best defense.
I dropped my phone on the pendulum ride.
Yeah. And
it does seem like it feels like they have a real defensive answer for Giannis, or answers for Giannis. They couldn't shoot threes the last game. They were taking early in the shot clock threes. That was the problem. This game, they passed it around, got better looks, and hit these threes and won. But the one thing that seems consistent is, as like outstanding as some of Giannis's plays were, he seemed to struggle to, to dictate the offense or dictate to the defense in the way that he normally does. And that's true through both of these games. Grant Williams was outstanding. Al Horford, outstanding defensively. Smaller guys who can run with Giannis and are strong enough to make him work on the inside. So I don't know how to feel about this.
My sense of all of this, right? And by the way, I don't know if Gary Payton should be called the glove, given the information that we've all just gathered about him.
Wow.
That was worth going back. Wow. I gotta admit.
How do you know it just wasn't a faulty glove?
Yeah.
Just say it.
Well, how do you know it wasn't? How do you know it wasn't just a choice? Like, it seemed like, it's not like there's a name situation, like somebody with a different last name. It was clear that he was like, yeah, this is what we doing. Don't get on my man's life choices. Back to the Celtics and Bucks.
Fair. I'm just trying to think of better nicknames, but I don't think I can say any of them.
No. Dominique has slapped me across the face with the velvet glove. I back down. The Bucks-Celtics thing, though, it is fascinating, Izzy, because this one felt like the aberration. As much as I want to go back and like validate my previous opinion before the last opinion I gave, where I favored the Bucks in this series, the difference in three-point shooting in this game was the second largest gap in NBA playoff history, I believe. And so when we watch all of these videos of the Celtics just draining threes, they shot about 50% from beyond the arc. The Bucks were single-digit terrible. And I feel like that is not as sustainable as the Celtics would like it to be.
No, it's not. But that's what the coaches are going to have to tell them, because that's how you beat Milwaukee. They're going to give up a lot of threes. And game one, you don't make them. You get frustrated. Your offense just becomes threes. And then that happens. This game, you hit a lot of them. You're feeling good. The defense looks great. And Giannis doesn't. And so that was the result. I do think you're right. I do think the frustration, if a couple of shots don't go, is going to sink back in. And maybe that offense will go back to just kind of settling a lot. I think the key is still on the other end, though. Like, you've still got to, regardless of how you're hitting, you've got to make sure that you frustrate the heck out of Giannis. Make sure Drew Holiday, because he's essentially your number two now, can't take over the game for any stretches. And you've got to make Giannis have to try to do it all. And frankly, you probably want to do that as much with one-on-one as you can without, like, leaving those shooters open. Make Giannis hit those turnaround, 15-footers that he's so proud of these days. Because, well, I guess Giannis is pretty much the Luisa, if you want to go all Encanto on this, of the NBA. It's all pressure on him.
Spoiler alert.
All the strength on him. It's like there's nothing, nobody else. It's going to be on Giannis. And that's what people love about Giannis, because he's like Michael Jordan back in the day. Hey, I'm doing it all by myself. But it's also things that make you question, man, if he doesn't have that natural offense, they're going to be games like this, especially when Chris Middleton isn't around.
All right, so now we have to figure out who's Mirabelle.
I haven't seen Encanto yet.
Who's Isabella?
I haven't seen Encanto.
Well, Isabella is the pretty one.
I can just sing it all to you right now if you want. While we,
or supposedly. No? Like, Isabella makes flowers, and she's like the perfect one who never
makes
any
mistakes.
That's
Steph Curry.
And yeah, and Luisa is very strong. Mirabelle.
Draymond Green is definitely the, what is it, the one with the rabbit ears, the one who can hear everything? That's definitely Draymond. Draymond's in everybody's
business.
I was thinking
Draymond was Casita. Draymond feels like the house.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know
House was a character.
Mirabelle is the main character who we believe has no powers, but her real power is bringing the family together. She replaces
Steve Kerr. I haven't seen this yet.
Steve Kerr is the Mirabelle.
Ruining Encanto for me.
You have a daughter. If you haven't seen Encanto now, you had a daughter, and I've seen it 13 times. Like, does she not like it? What are you doing when she's watching Encanto? You watching NBA on your phone? I'm sure she's seen it, right?
Bad dad.
I'm a bad dad. That's what we've decided here.
Pablo's going chronologically. He's going with the first Disney movie up until... He's still got a long way to go.
Okay, gotcha. You're working your way up. I feel you. All the way through the Pixar generation. I got it. Nice.
That's how Harvard kids do it.
I'm starting with... what's the movie? Oh, Soul. That one is not for kids.
Yeah,
Soul is great.
It is good,
that is not for kids.
I haven't seen it. I read the description. I was told I should watch it, and I was like, it feels too deep. I just don't want to watch this
right now.
It's
very deep. It's not for kids. Inside Out is also one that is for kids, but also like it hits real close to home for all the rest of us adults.
Yep.
Oh, what about Coco? Coco, that one.
Oh my God! Don't get me started on Coco.
I'm crying thinking about Coco.
It wrings your heart, that movie.
No, they try to make it all colorful and pretty to get over the fact that they're making
the
you cry.
It is beautiful.
All the tears. Just some cute ass skeletons.
Yeah, the
songs are good though.
3 threes, by the way, for the Bucks is how many they shot and hit.
It's not like the game was close though. So, like, I understand you're saying that the 3-point differential won't be that big, but they had some margin to play with. Like, I could see the Celtics. It's not like this was, I mean, it was a complete aberration on both sides, but let's track back to the mean, and they still could hit that many shots or hit enough shots to beat the Bucks again. I think they probably lose this next one and. We'll have a pivotal game. There'll be a pivotal game coming up.
Pivotal. Game we're throwing four. Pivotal around.
I think game
Alabaster is definitely Alabaster's definitely Camillo, the shapeshifter.
Yeah, right? Of course.
So, guys, I got one basketball follow-up question. I also have not seen Encanto. But I also
don't have any kids.
Encanto.
But, so here's my question. Like, we've talked a lot about the Bucks defense, which... We've crushed for years their propensity to give up threes, and that was a legitimate question about Budenholzer. But I'm actually interested in the Celtics defense, which has been the best in the league. And do you think that Giannis is going to figure this out? Because we don't have a sample size of anyone figuring out the Celtics defense, Kevin Durant included.
No.
Giannis has seen all of this from every team that can play this style of defense. He's seen it before. Has he seen, you know, this amount of length between Tatum and Williams? Maybe not, but I don't think it's anything that's so surprising for him. But not that he has the natural offensive game to get over it, but I mean, for 4 out of 7, I think he can figure it out.
Well, the question really is, like, do you think the Celtics can continue to slow him down one-on-one? Which is what they did so that's how they started this game, and then it got so out of hand, to Dominique's point, that like it stopped mattering as much. But I don't think that. I think if anything we've learned about Giannis is true, it's that he will find a way to overpower you if you're just throwing at him. Yes.
I mean, it's
just get in the paint and draw a bunch of fouls.
After that first game, we kind of forgot how important Chris Middleton was. So like we're talking about this game as if Giannis is going to
Are you okay? Is your casita secure right now?
It's clearly not. Like, no one respects the fact that I'm working here. It's in and out. They don't want to turn the chime off or nothing. Just keep it buzzing. It's fine. You guys know what's happening at my house. I can't do anything. I can't leave the basement.
You're supposed to be quarantined.
No, you're quarantined in a very insecure
I'm in the basement. I don't leave. Yeah. I can't go up. They don't come down. I can't do anything but listen to the beeps and maybe call and complain. Have you seen Turning Red?
Oh, no. Should I?
Yes. I mean, just saw the first half of that last night. Is it just not about a young lady having her experience?
Yeah.
Is that not what that is?
Why are we calling it an experience? Why can't we can't talk about Menstrual cycles, undebatable. Why is the line drawn there?
It's a good movie. That's what it's about, right? I liked it. Yeah, that's pretty much what it's
about.
But,
like, my 5-year-old nephew doesn't really understand that.
And it's about friendship, too, which I guess... Mm.
The real menstruation was the friends we made along the way. That's what I've heard.
I think it's about, like, there's, like, a pull between your family and your friends. And normally, like, movies, I think, go towards family. This one, to me, felt like it went more to, like, the friendship that she built, which I thought was beautiful.
The besties, yes. Mm.
Mm.
Okay. Interesting.
That's a good one. Sounds like a good
Thanks
one.
Thanks for that, Dominique. Mm. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. We got to get to this heat sweep. I'm going to make it happen. I believe it. There's no way we can spend 16 minutes on Ryan Tannehill. There's no way.
Sounds like a challenge.
I don't know. Right. He said some serious stuff.
All right, guys.
Dominique's going through it, man. Dominique is going through it.
I feel great. What are you talking about?
You just wiped your whole face with your hoodie.
No, I covered it so I didn't transmit it through the microphone. It was just a call.
You just hate talking about Tannehill that much. He's Ferris Buellering this thing.
All right, guys, I ain't messing with Tannehill. Do you remember his wife turned into rental car and it was like an assault rifle in the back? Yeah, I have nothing bad to say about any of the Tannehills. Allegedly. That wasn't a legend. That wasn't a legend.
There's records.
Yeah.
There's photos of that thing.
Yeah, that was not a legend. That was real.
I didn't realize you kept that bang on her that way, but fair enough, retracted.
Okay, so we're going to play... A couple rounds of what are the chances here? And the first
that
one
thing
is...
was real?
They're not listening to you, Alabama. Sorry, I'm sorry.
It's okay. No respect.
Oh, man.
All right, first question. What are the chances Ryan Tannehill's mindset will help him keep his starting job longer?
His mindset? You mean his grind set?
Oh, God. Play the clip.
We're competing against each other. We're... you know, watching the same tape, we're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but you know, if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing.
Did you guys hear me secretly blow my nose while Ryan Tannehill was talking, or did I do it far enough away from the microphone?
No, you did it correctly, but you just ruined it because nobody actually heard
you. Sorry.
The prestige.
He also said something about being in a dark place after that 3-interception game against the Bengals, after watching the Bengals make the Super Bowl. I feel like that's the same place a lot of Dolphins fans were at for like 7 years when he was down here, so I feel like it's reciprocated.
I thought Izzy was going to go to the place of sympathy, but nope, he went straight for the F.U. Ryan Tannehill.
I did. Yeah, it was an easy one.
But this is why I think, Izzy, this is why I think like, Ryan Tannehill saying F you to the notion of mentor is appropriate. Like, number one, like, there is no more overused noun on the planet, I would argue, than mentor. Like, we need to have a certification course for mentoring because anyone can be a mentor at this point, and I want to see the receipts. How much are you? Are you doing, like, Yoda, Luke Skywalker training here? Like, what is this involved?
Well, he's not doing any of it, obviously. Playing?
But basically what he's saying is the word mentor also has this other connotation, which is old.
Yeah.
And mentoring means I am old and you are young. And he's like, hey, we were the one seed last year. Why am I mentoring anyone?
Yeah, I mean, the tough thing is like this is a result of us overhyping quarterbacks that aren't good. Because if they draft a quarterback in the 3rd round whose name we don't know, Ryan Tannehill is not asked the mentor question. They drafted a quarterback in the 3rd round, right? It was the 3rd round. They got Malik Willis. Could have been the 8th for all we know. If they drafted a 3rd round quarterback they did draft a quarterback who we heard in the 1st round in the 3rd round. So now he's considered like a potential starter. I think Ryan Tannehill's poor play in the playoffs aside, he said the truth, but you should know better than to say that, I guess. Or maybe that's the message he wants to send because it's not his job to mentor. It's just not.
Dominique,
I don't
think so. Don't you sort of look better to the organization, to your teammates in general? I know you're like training your replacement, but if you have some sort of perspective, if you're Ryan Tannehill, recognize where you are in age, recognize how you're
He's
thought
not
of.
Old.
Like, don't you want people to think highly of you? Don't you want to just play and just do the right thing and say, hey, and if they get rid of you, then, you know, then they're getting rid of a very nice guy.
I'll answer your question with a question. To what end? Like, in the cutthroat business of professional football, what exactly does that buy you?
Well, if he is that if he believes that he is that close to being replaced by a third round draft pick, then okay, then he's that insecure that it doesn't matter. But if you believe in yourself, like this, the whole idea is, oh, why should he mentor somebody? He should believe in himself. Well, if you believe in yourself, it doesn't matter what this guy does. You're going to be good enough. And I feel like you do the right thing most of the time.
Right.
Good things happen.
I'm good with all that, but I'm good with that. But my point is, I think Ryan shouldn't have said that just because he doesn't need the news cycle where we're talking about it. But I don't think it's his responsibility to mentor him or his responsibility to say that he's going to mentor him, because the fact of the matter is, if Ryan balls out, they're going to give him a ton of money, which they already did, and they're going to keep him as starting quarterback. If he struggles, they're going to bench him, no matter whether he is like a kind Yoda-like mentor or not. It's just the way
it is. But to Pablo's point, like, what exactly, like, if he does something in practice that Malik then just picks up on, like, is that mentoring? He's giving you something, right? He's giving you little tips here and there.
That's why Ryan Tannehill's responsibility, his only responsibility as a CEO of Ryan Tannehill Incorporated, is to lie. Like, absolutely. Absolutely, I'm going to mentor him.
Do you think, since we're whispering, do you think the Titans heard him say, I'm not going to mentor him, and said, thank you? Because if we wanted somebody to play like Ryan Tannehill, we would not draft a quarterback because we already have Ryan Tannehill. So please do not teach him your ways.
It's a great
I taught you how to whisper because you're not very good at that.
Yeah, I'm terrible at whispering.
Yeah, who is your whispering mentor? He was terrible.
It's not you.
Was your whispering mentor Stephen A? Stephen A, the one who mentored you about whispering.
Surprisingly, Stephen A, great whisperer. He'll take you up and down in a matter of 30 seconds on a roller coaster
scales.
Speech.
Good point. No one climbs the scales like Stephen A. Ugh. Silence
0%
is his friend in ways that no one can handle.
Through the whole freaking virus without getting it. Stupid Vegas.
I just wanted to see him do his clockwise zeros.
That's
so crazy.
It's never going
to
end, so.
Your brain is backwards, Brian.
Only a matter of time.
I don't know. Give me something. Zero. I want what Izzy said. No, I disagree with Izzy, right?
Give him a 10%.
Okay, give me 10. I'll take 10. That handwriting is still sloppy. It's like,
yeah, can I see what,
I
just
want to
see what a...
It's nervous handwriting.
What's a good number for the serial killer test? Like 70? No, 49.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me a 49. See what that looks like. Oh, went long. And then... Oh man! Started with the backbone.
Wow! Do you guys go stick first?
Look at those.
Damn
so
it,
like
such a better word than stick.
Alabaster looked like a serial killer. This particular handwriting looks scared. Like it looks. You see those ghost O's? It's like you're terrified.
Ghost O's.
Like a fourth grader.
Oh my god!
Are you
two
a hostage?
Two,
write a message
things.
So we know whether we
two
need to
things.
Save you or not.
Two things. Going stick first and ghost O's. Both great names for a strip club that James Harden loves going to.
Yes, please free him. He needs help.
Oh, Mr. Cellophane. Yeah, there it is.
Stick first.
Stick first is a great name. I'm realizing that I used to be impressed that you were able to do this, but it feels like everything we say can be a strip club.
I am merely the code breaker. I am not the code maker.
Did you say ghost O's? I don't
I
even get
ghost
that
O's.
One. I don't get that
oh,
one.
Oh, you know what I mean.
I don't
those
at all.
O's, those O's. Those real spooky O's.
Okay.
No idea what you're talking about. Oh, gosh.
Heat time?
Oh, we got 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes left for a heat.
Wow, let me stretch out here since we've got time.
In all of our strip clubbing, we've gravely miscalculated the time.
Are we sure there's not a strip club in the Miami Heat Arena?
I'm not.
That's the best way to explain James Harden's struggles. Let's be honest.
Well, then was there one in Toronto too? I know actually the city itself is, from what I hear.
See, I don't think we actually have a heat question. I think he's just going to let us sit here and vamp for 8 minutes and let's pretend like we don't actually. Oh, wow, we have
him ready to go.
Let's do it.
What are the chances that you are ready to guarantee a heat sweep of the 76ers?
Wow.
Sticks, eh? Is that the Toronto version?
Pablo, like you don't have faith in this team, right?
I don't have.
Nope, Pablo, you stop it. You stop it. I want you to know, Izzy, you may not have been on this day. Several weeks ago,
what?
Pablo said about the 76ers that this is the first time he has not been scared entering the playoffs with the 76ers. It's the first time coming out of halftime he knew that they were going to pull it out. This was early in the Toronto Raptors series. For context, I wanted you to hear that. Pablo, proceed.
I'll have what he's having.
I can't go first on this question.
Why not? Like, you are the premier.
I'm being boxed in. I don't want to be too pessimistic. Wow. But I also don't want to give up just yet because it's not over yet.
Izzy, you see what they did to the clock? You see what they did to the clock on you, Izzy?
Son of a gun. By the way, boxed in. Great strip club name. Look, I can't do this. I can't give you all the heat bona fides in 10 seconds. Hard to say a sweep when you got Joel Embiid possibly coming back at home. So I can't guarantee a sweep, but go ahead and guarantee a gentleman sweep at least.
Gentleman sweep.
I got it in.
Hate culture. You got it in.
Thank God.
Another name. All right, we got to stop it.
Goodbye. I really like Tyler Hero. He's fun.
Right?
Yeah, he's fun.
I mean,
tough shots.
He's no John Morant, but he's fun.
Nah. He seems like he's having the time of his life.
He does.
He's going to be...
Pablo, you only got a few seconds left for a strip club name.
Oh,
Ha, 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 ha,